The Ripple Effect. The Ripple Effect. The Ripple Effect. This is the Empowering Youth Podcast from Building Utah Youth, a nonprofit organization established in 2007 to provide powerful leadership training to the youth of our communities. And now, here's your host, by board member, co-owner of Rapport International, and certified trainer, Brett Johnston.
Hello, welcome back to the Empowering Youth Podcast. I'm Brett Johnston.
I'm Brecklyn Choate.
And I am Mesa Whitaker. And I have the privilege of introducing someone that I met 12 years ago in this exact training. So Holly, please introduce yourself and let's get into your life and all the great things you've been up to.
Okay. I'm Holly Arnold. I'm a 29-year-old English teacher in Davis County.
Almost 30.
Almost awesome. 30. Yes.
Yeah, still in the 20s.
I'm not panicking at all about that.
No.
And I cannot rave enough about this training and everything that it has changed my life about, literally everything from day one after.
I'm so excited. Yeah. So let's start from the beginning.
Okay.
So who were you? Growing up, what did that look like?
Who's little Holly?
Who's little Holly? Holly, oh, I love thinking about myself when I was little. I'm the youngest of four living children. The brother that's just older than me was a triplet, and he was born 4 months premature, about 3 years before I was. The twins we lost at 3 days and about 6 weeks. And then my brother, who is still living, is severely handicapped and disabled. And that made life really difficult growing up. And then the year before that, before the triplets were born, my mom had a stillborn. So I am technically the youngest of seven, but there are four of us that are around. And so
your mom's a warrior.
Yes. Yes, she is.
To carry.
Yeah. And so little Holly had to take on a lot from day one. My development years were very similar to where my brother was with his delays. And so I was his best friend from day one. And then he decided that Holly was smaller than me and Holly could be target practice. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of years where he was extremely violent. And so I was not at my house for most of the evenings during the week. But Holly got to spend a lot of time with friends, got to find those parental figures and family outside of my house. And my uncle and I are very close because I spent so many evenings with him.
Is that where the sports and the activities really came into?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. My years in elementary school, my mom was like, let's get you in as many activities that we can afford at the same time. And so I played soccer for 6 years. I was in dance for 6 years. And so that was two or three times a week, and it allowed me to be out of the house, but still have somewhat of a normal adolescence.
And when you were growing up, mom and dad were both working.
Yeah. Mom and dad were both working. My mom was a math teacher in Davis County. She did that for 37 years.
Wow. Awesome. Yep.
High five, mom.
Yeah. Yeah. She did a lot. And then my dad worked as a custodian in Weber County. And so he was gone most evenings. And then on weekends, if there was sports events, if there was plays, he was at work. So dad did his absolute best, but dad was gone most of the time. So it felt like I was in a single parent situation. And when he was around, he was very present when he could be. But for the most part, it was hard, especially with my brother's behaviors. And then my sisters are so much older than me.
So was that because when you got to the weekend, so dad's off work.
Dad's off work and he's exhausted.
But he's exhausted, so he's recharging.
Yep.
And then it's weekend, and on the weekend, you're doing what?
On weekend, I'm hiding in my room.
Yeah, you're out. So you're not around.
No, I'm not around. Weekends were harder just because people had their own lives and they couldn't have little Holly at their house with them. And so I was in my room, or I was with my older sister, kind of being out of eye line of my brother.
So did you know the Wilsons then?
The Wilsons moved into my neighborhood when I was 9 or 10.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I've known them a long time.
That's awesome.
Because we love the Wilsons.
Yeah, we do love the Wilsons. What's the age difference between you and your brother?
Almost 3 years.
3 years. Yep. And you're young.
I'm the youngest. Yeah, yeah. I'm younger than him. Gotcha. Yep.
And where did you grow up at?
In Clinton.
Okay.
I lived in Roy until I was 5 and then moved to Clinton.
But it was, I mean, your brother, autism.
Yes.
Autistic.
Yep.
And so like really high functioning or?
No, kind of. Okay. He is the most brilliant human being I have ever met. So his hyperfixation is insane, and he's got a photographic memory and perfect pitch. Like, he could be a savant if he was had all of his mental capabilities, but so intelligent. So he knows, like, he knows where to hit you with the kidney punches, and he knows all the things. But like, I love that man. Like, now we've got a great relationship, but at the time he was terrifying.
Yeah.
Well, that probably was really challenging being away from your house, right? As being young, that's what you're used to. It's your safe place.
Yep. And it got to the point that I was just so used to not being home that being home became extremely stressful.
Well, if you're home and you're being abused or you're being used a punching bag, even though it's your brother.
Yeah.
And knowing that, what are you going to do about that?
Yeah. And at the time,
and mom and dad knowing, what are we going to do about that?
Exactly. At the time it was really hard because my mom's trying to get all of the stuff we could get taken care of. So case managers, he's legally blind as well. And so he went to the blind school during the week until he was 12. And then it got so bad that they're like, we can't have him in here anymore. He's sent 3 grown men to the hospital.
Wow.
And so they're like, we're going to have him attend his public school. And my mom's like, you are not sending him to the same school as his sister because
that was your escape.
Yep. And he would find me. If he didn't want to be in his classroom, he would come find me because he knew I was in the building.
And I think about that and I go, that's just a lot of pressure. Yeah. And there's a lot of time you're spending thinking about things that most people really don't ever have to think about. I mean, there's kids that think about abuse and think about, you know, I guess just living with people that are upset at them or things like that. That happens.
Yeah.
And it's your brother and there's nothing that can be done about it.
No, right. Because it's technically not his fault.
No, it's not. Right? No. It's completely his disability.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was hard. People kind of like, we laugh about it now because that's just how we've had to.
You have to.
How you process the trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for years, we couldn't afford to change doors. And so growing up, my bedroom in the middle of the hallway was a flimsy, it wasn't a solid core door. I didn't have a lock on it. I learned how to keep that thing shut with my body weight because he would just try and break down the door.
Wow.
Yeah. I laugh about it now. Like I said, it's just the way I cope. But at the time, it was extremely traumatic.
What were some of the things during that time, though, that you were telling yourself? What were some of the conversations you had with yourself, had with your parents?
I don't know that I really had any internal dialogue at the time. It was just survival. This is normal. This is just what we do. And options were limited because if Tyler didn't want to, that was the end of it.
Yeah. So all the focus is being put on him because it demands it. He demands it.
Yeah.
And that is just tough.
Yeah. And so my 2 older sisters, bless their hearts. I love those. I love those two. They took on a lot as
the twins.
No, these are
the twins are the ones that passed away. Yeah. Okay.
So Tammy and Allison, they took on a lot when my mom was at work. My oldest sister, who should have been away at college, like living her life, stayed home, went to Weber so that she could be home to get my brother off the bus. My sister Allison went to parent-teacher conferences with me because Tammy was taking care of Tyler. Mom was at work and dad was gone. And so they were raising 2 small children themselves as young adults.
That has really forged your family.
Yes, we are best friends.
The connections that you have had to make because of it.
Yeah.
I always say though, the people that you can tell, the people that were raised with like a sibling that had special needs or special challenges, because they are the most compassionate, understanding, humble people.
Empathetic.
Yeah. Empathetic. They have so much of that, that like really, I mean, obviously there's a lot of negative and a lot of hurt, but the outcome of that is that you know, you're a teacher.
Resilience. Yep. The resilience it builds.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's made, he made life growing up very difficult, but the way that my life has become because of him, I wouldn't change it. Like it was harder, but I wouldn't change it at all.
What did your friends look like about that time?
I had very few friends because Holly was a very shy child. But also I think somewhere subconsciously I knew that I couldn't have a lot of friends because I couldn't bring them into that space. So I was very careful about my friends. My best friend of, oh my goodness, I'm almost 30. So 25 years now, we met in kindergarten. I was at her house frequently. My mom, like first week of school, was like, you seem nice, like nice people. how would you like to help my poor daughter have somewhere to be?
So her parents understood as well. Yes. What was going on?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
No, Rob and Rhonda are my go-tos. I love them. So I was with them a lot. And then I had another friend that was in my neighborhood and I was over with them frequently as well.
Did your brother do better when you weren't there?
Yes.
So you were adding to the behavior.
Because I was the weakest link.
Got it. So he knew that he could get. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Even now, if he's having a moment, he will track the room. He will be looking for other disabled people. He will be looking for small children. Like, people laugh when we go out in public and we circle the wagons, as we call it, around him. And
to protect everyone else.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Like, we're
like, what are you doing? Let him have his space. It's like, no, you don't want him to have his space.
Well, and it's funny because he'll sometimes recognize that we're blocking him. He's like, don't block me. Do not block me. And we're like, I'm just standing here. I don't know what you're talking about. So it's become this like game for us, but it's also second nature.
So you spent a lot of time away from home.
Yes.
And you spent a considerable amount of time with your mom.
Yes.
Not that your dad wasn't there. No. It was your dad was, he was working.
Yep.
He was working swing shifts.
Yep.
And so he's gone working when you're sleeping and he's sleeping when you
leave. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Makes it hard.
It was really hard. Cause it's like, and I'm not faulting my dad at all because he was doing his absolute best to provide for us. Because of him, we had double coverage for insurance and medical was not a problem. And so that was a blessing, but I looked for father figures elsewhere.
It's crazy because you're 29 years old and you're already recognizing how double coverage with health insurance is such a positive thing. It's like, no, that's a big, big thing.
That was a conversation my parents were having with me when I was 6, 7, because
it was beautiful. They were so transparent about it.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you matured probably a lot faster than most because of that. Yes,
and that I think has also been a detriment to, I don't blame my parents at all. They did what they could, but because I had to grow up so fast, I feel like I've been in this like state of limbo, especially in my 20s, because it's like, I've already accomplished this stuff. Like, I don't need this time to like explore life because I did that when I was...
You've had so much exposure.
Yeah. To the real world long before being embedded in it.
I still remember when we went through the training, I was very observant because I thought I had it figured out. Oh, yeah. I thought I had the handbook and I surely didn't. But I remember how quiet you were and I remember ending and it was completely different.
Oh, yes. I'm a people watcher because it's that like I'm used to this trauma. And so I'm watching who I can be safe with.
Who you can be safe with, who you can trust.
Yep. I'm still that way. Mm-hmm. When I'm first in a group of people, I will take the time and I will watch and I will remove myself. And then it'll be a slowly embedding myself into groups.
So you had some special people in your life that were really helping.
Yes.
And it sounded like you know, your mom and dad are working hard and grinding.
Yes.
And you were able to participate in lots and lots of activities that helped and they were doing all those things to help you.
Yeah.
You know, so that you had plenty of places to put your attention and to be and to participate in.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There are a lot of people in my life growing up that were like just salt of the earth. My soccer coach, who I played with for 6 years, he always made sure my mom was the assistant coach so that my fees were less. We always made sure that I was involved in free stuff at school. The sweetest people who took, I hate saying pity, but that looked at the situation.
They were aware.
Said, this girl needs the opportunity and otherwise she can't have it.
Yeah. I mean, God bless people for paying attention.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, we talk about it. We've had, you know, some of the coaches on and they're so hyper aware of those things because today it just costs so much to do everything.
Yep.
And you're asking so much from these parents and then it's a lot for parents not to be able to show up.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Today, because their generation, their parents didn't show up. So now they don't want to miss anything that goes on.
Yep. As a teacher, I'm very aware that parents are very involved, which I'm grateful for. A lot of these kids need it, but sometimes.
And sometimes parents need to butt out.
Right. Sometimes it's a little much, but.
So you're growing up though. You're really active, but you're very shy.
Yes.
Not a lot of friends.
No. Very friendly, and I could collect people and like lots of acquaintances, but my group is even still very small.
So
very
like small. You had more than just your one best friend, right?
Yes. Yes. I had friends, but like she was the one that got it. She was the one that saw it from day one and how insane life could be. And she just took it in stride. Even so now,
she could see the four quarters
rather than 100 pennies saying,
yes.
I say that all the time. I'd rather have 4 quarters than 100 pennies.
Yep. Yep. And I still have a lot of really good friends from high school and stuff that I see occasionally, but she is still my ride or die. Yep.
So about what age did you go into the class and how'd you get there?
So I was nominated.
Neighbors with the Wilsons.
Yeah.
I was neighbors luckily with the placed next to the Wilsons.
Yes. I adore Kellyanne and Adam. They're my favorite people ever. No, they just happened to move into my neighborhood and we just kind of hit it off because they were looking for babysitters. And I was just at that right age where their girls were getting old enough that they needed it. So, but could still manage. So we got to be pretty close and I watched their kids for a while. But then the Wilsons just kind of decided we're going to send almost every single child through our neighborhood
that we know
to this training.
Even the ones we don't.
Anyone we see on the street.
Yep. We're like you. So there was a good amount of people from
hundreds,
a block, just a country block radius in Clinton that went through this training that are still going through this training. They still, even though they've moved to Texas now, they're like, they need to go now and they need to go and they need to go. So I was lucky enough to live by the Wilsons and I will be honest. I was absolutely terrified. I was really excited because I was like, cool, this is a great opportunity. And when I say the drive up to the environmental center, that is the first panic attack I've literally ever had in my life. I remember vividly laying down in the front seat going, Mom, I'm going to throw up. I'm going to throw up. I was so nervous.
Well, if you set the setting there, it is in the middle of the woods where we went.
Yeah.
So it is like
you're off the grid. And I was just like, what have I done?
And it's old.
Yes.
I mean, it was old. It was old 12 years ago. Oh. It's old now. I mean, it's old.
My sisters would talk about their winter field trips that they would go on in elementary
school. It's been old for 40 years something. Yeah.
Yeah. It's an older building and the bunk beds were hard as crap, but.
Was your mom excited for you to go?
I think she was a little nervous because I was just so.
She was
out of sorts.
Did your siblings go? Your older siblings? No. So you were the first to go.
I was the first one to go, but we had like our friends in the neighborhood. Kids. We saw the difference.
Right.
They'd leave. They'd be at church on the Sunday before, and then they'd go to this thing and come back, and we're like, "Who is this kid?"
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we could see it. And so when Adam approached my mom, it was like, "We will sponsor her to go." My mom was like, "Absolutely." Absolutely. I don't care if this is going to kill her. Like she's going to do this.
Going. Oh, that's my favorite. Going.
Where do I sign?
Love it when they tell their parents they're going to throw up.
I'm oh like, yeah.
I have a barf bag for you. They think that's an out. It's not.
Oh no.
Thank you anyway.
No.
Some Tums.
And did you get to walk to the environment?
No.
Drove,
we
drove
were
you
lucky.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The year before walk.
Just sometimes, you know, it's different stories. Want to hear it.
No.
We brought the walk back.
You would have had another panic attack.
Yeah. Like, excuse me, what? No. And thankfully, the Wilson's niece, Kasten was also in our group. And so I had known her a little bit. So I wasn't completely going in blind.
So you went with one person
that
you knew-ish when you showed up. Yeah. So it wasn't complete strangers.
No.
Yeah.
No. So I'd only met her a couple of times before that. And so it was like, okay.
We're best friends now.
Yeah. We're doing this thing. Oh yeah.
Hip to hip.
Yep.
And then you walk in Kasten's and see the girl easy that has the handbook. No, I'm just
I thought I had a handbook. But Kasten's really friendly as well.
Yes, she is.
Very approachable.
Yep. Yep.
So what was it like for you? I mean, you don't have to get into any details, but what did you learn?
I learned so much about myself in those 3 days. Like the fact that I wasn't like sobbing the whole time.
How old were you?
I was 17.
Okay. Yeah.
I was 17. It was the summer right before my senior year.
Beautiful age to go to college.
Yes.
Such a beautiful
age. I was nervous as crap. And then But I think the way we handled it as a group, I think just was perfect. We went out of our way to learn everybody's name, like first names. Day one.
I had the handbook girl there.
The handbook. Yep. Misleading from the jump. I was like, everyone learn each other's names.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Like we were learning everybody's names, like learning where people were from. We had a bunch of high school football boys from Weber High. And it was like, okay, this is cool. Like we're gonna chill. And then we walked in and when I tell you that was the biggest slap in my face of like how things shifted from the second you're outside getting to know everybody to the second you walk in and you're like, okay, this is how my life is going to be for the next 3 days. And I love comparing it to boot camp. I've never been to boot camp. I never will be. I will never go to boot camp.
Closest thing I've been to.
Yeah. But it's like, I imagine that is what that's like. But also I now understand like my cousin who was in the army, when he says that those men were his brothers, I'm like, you have to be. You learn to trust people so quickly. I think the trust fall was something I remember the most because I don't like falling. And that was a pretty high spot to fall from. The board breaking, I think, was the biggest thing. My mom, I love her to death, but she's a worry wart. And she has taught us all to be worry warts. And so the idea of breaking a board in half, I thought I was going to shatter my hand. And I was like, I signed a waiver. They're not liable if I break my hand. Like,
you're reading the fine print.
You have a 17-year-old that's going to stand
up. Yeah, I was like, this is terrible. My mom's going
to
kill me.
She wants to redline the contract.
Yeah, yeah.
She's
yeah.
like, can I read
only
that again?
Only 17, yep. thank you.
Yep, yep. Yeah. And so I was like, dang it. But that was the only time that I went last because I was so scared. But after I did that, I was so proud of myself. Yeah. And I think that was the first time I'd ever felt that way, was being proud of myself.
The amount of confidence that can be built and forged in just a short
moment. In like 3 seconds. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
Yeah. And I think after that, my mental ability to go, this is not going to kill me. I have broken a board in half.
Which that's your new saying.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Saying. I say it all the time. Like, I've broken a board in half. I have fallen off of I don't even know how tall thing, and people have caught me. Like, I'm fine. This is not going to kill me. Am I nervous as crap? Yes. But it's not going to kill me.
Who were your trainers?
Oh, I don't remember. I think it was
McKinney.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, shout out to McKinney. Mm-hmm.
That man was scary.
Yeah.
He looks just like Brett. It's like a blueprint.
He's such a great dude. Yeah, great guy.
I think we had a father and a son.
On team
as well.
You have a better memory than I was.
They had the same last name, and that was the only reason I remembered that. Mm-hmm. Vaughn?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there was a girl, I think probably just in her 20s, but...
What was your block to success? Do you remember?
It should be hanging up somewhere. No, I'm just
your block, your board.
My board. I think it was I'm worthy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm worthy.
Yep. Wow.
Well, in analyzing this, if you look at it, most of your life, the focus has been on your brother.
Yeah.
And so this training was all about you.
Yep.
And that had to be a real big shift for you.
Oh, yeah. Especially because the year before... we finally got him in a group home. Mm. So he moved out. And so we were at that point trying to process life
without him,
home 24/7.
Cause you missed him.
We missed him and we saw him all the time. Yeah,
it was just different.
The house was quiet and now we're trying to find time. Mm-hmm. Things.
Well, and there's a lot of energy in those walls.
Yes. Yes.
You have to learn how to live there.
Yeah. We learned
a whole different way.
We had to learn how to live in period.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we could go, we can leave the house and go to a movie. We can go do this. We don't have to find someone to watch him.
You know, yeah, I just listened to you and I think you've always had a lot of love around mm-hmm. of you and support, but just the amount of trauma.
Yeah.
And responsibility.
Yeah. Big time.
Would make you feel lonely.
Yeah.
Oh, and I don't think I
Because how do you don't even know how to put it into words. It's exactly. you are living it every day.
Yes. And the loneliness I think was something I don't think I was ever able to put a word to until a couple of years ago.
Well, and at that age, now you can look back and understand what was really happening.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And I can't say that word, but anyway, you could dive into it and figure it out. But at that age, you're like, all I know is that my parents can't give me this because I have him, to understand that, that that's why, and that it's not your fault. And to understand that at a young age is hard. And it sounds like you kind of did know, though.
Yes, because my parents were very transparent and very like, this is why he's the way he
they're,
is.
They're battling the same thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Well, that had to be hard on friends too, because they don't understand.
No, they would come over occasionally and would hear his behaviors and they're like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Or he is a very fascinated person with like just anatomy. And so the different color of hair and skin tone, he just is fascinated by. And so he just gets up in their face.
Oh.
And they're just like, and he's tall. And we were small people, and he was just, they're just like, I don't like this. I'm not comfortable.
How big is he now?
He is 5'8" and skinny as a twig, but as strong as.
Yeah. He's got that. Yeah.
For sure. Hogan.
We know.
Yeah.
We're familiar.
Yeah.
When you completed that training, you know, what were some of the conversations you became aware of? What were some of the awarenesses you had for yourself at that point? Because you've been about a year or just barely.
He moved out the summer before my sophomore year. So about a year and a half.
Okay.
At that point. Yeah.
So you're now starting to kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
And then you go experience this for you.
Yeah.
What were some of the conversations you had with yourself?
I think at the time it was like, okay, I don't have to be this shy person anymore. Yes, I can still be like, I can watch people and find those safe spaces, but I don't have to be afraid of just putting myself out there. Mm-hmm. I was a senior class officer that next year, and the fact that I made it into office in the first place, I was shocked.
Because had you already ran before class?
Yes.
So you'd already decided to run.
Yes.
You were a class officer.
Yes.
And then you went to class.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yep. Yeah. So I was like, and I was senior class president. So I was in charge of everything. And I was just like, how is this shy person? Like, I can't do this. This is, I'm great to have the opportunity, but I was like, I can't.
So why did you run?
I actually ran every year in junior high and high school. And because it's a popularity contest, it was just a matter of, well, I don't know that many people because I'm quiet. Mm. And my junior year, I was actually just like, I'm just going to
go for it.
I'm going to take as many classes, just kind of broaden my horizons. And I met a lot of people. And so senior year, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to go for it again. Luck was not in my side. There was 6 people running for 5 spots. And the one person who didn't make it had like his citizenship was the reason he couldn't make it. So it was just a unanimous, there's 5 spots, 5 people. So it just worked out in my favor. But going into it, I was like, how am I going to be in charge of assemblies? How am I going to like speak at graduation to thousands of people? And I was just like, I don't know how I'm going to do this.
Rapport is out.
All in due time.
Yep. And so timing, I'm a believer of timing. Yeah. And so timing was in my favor. And I think I actually shocked a couple of my like advisors because they expected this very quiet, very shy girl.
And you found your big girl voice.
First couple of weeks of school, we're doing stuff in the commons during lunch and I'm yelling over everybody. Like, it's like, we're doing stuff.
Rick's like, yes.
And they're just like, who
Miss
is this?
Miss Social, Miss Big Red over there.
Yeah. It's like, who is this person? But it really has worked out in my favor. Like that ability to project, even in my career now, I use that all the time.
What age group do you teach? I'm sure we'll get into that later.
I teach the joyous grades of 7th and 8th grade.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're joyous. And I know.
Which we want to talk and walk through.
Yes, we will. We will. I was curious. Oh, yeah. As you were talking.
Oh, yeah.
I love my 8th graders. I love
them. So you leave. Conquer.
I conquer. Yep.
Yeah.
And
senior year was the best one. Yeah.
It honestly, like I just, because I was more confident in myself of just letting things happen and allowing myself to have that experience, I don't look back on my senior year as anything but
Clearfield High.
Northridge
High.
Yep. I'm a 9.
What year did you graduate?
2014. So 10 years ago, 11 years ago. Weird. At this point,
time is flying.
No.
Northridge.
Yep.
So senior year was a breeze.
It was great. And then I decided I was going to take on the world and I was moving to Logan. and
the world.
Yes, I'm moving to Cache Valley.
I'm going to Utah State.
That is where the world starts, everyone. I would know.
I feel like everybody needs to spend some time in Cache Valley, even if it's for like a staycation. Like, you don't know what's up there, and it is a beautiful place.
This is true.
Yep. But no, I went to Utah State for my freshman year of college.
Yeah.
Yep. And, that is when the anxiety and depression set in big time, because I was finally out of my parents' house, out of that trauma filled home. And then
away from the love and support.
Yep. And I realized very quickly that if I didn't have it, I wasn't going to be successful. So I moved back home after my freshman year and, was very adamant about not going to Weber. So I did everything online. I was like, I'm not going on campus. I refuse to go there.
Is there something wrong with Weber I don't know about?
The stigma, at least when I was in high school, was if you go to Weber, you're not doing anything with your life.
Because I'm like, I know so many people that work so hard to get into programs at Weber. And I'm like, am I missing something?
Now that I've gotten both of my degrees from there, I'm like, I don't even know what I was thinking. Like, it's a fantastic school.
Got it.
I was going to say, I go to the U and I would, I envy people that are at Weber State because they have it figured out. They really do. They have it figured out.
Because it's a non-resident school, mm-hmm. meaning everybody has to travel to campus. We're all working. We all have lives outside of school. We are not just on campus doing the quote unquote college life. Mm-hmm. And it allows us to have a more mature conversation and discussions in class. But also, I'm just going to rave about this right now. The class sizes at Weber are tiny, including general classes. Mm-hmm. You're not getting those big lecture halls like you are at the U, at BYU, at Utah State. Mm. You get to know your professors and you are gaining information so much faster than you would in those giant settings.
Shout out to the Weber State if you're a teenager deciding where to go.
Yeah. Tuition's a whole lot cheaper.
That's why I'm living at home.
There's a big selling point.
Yep.
So you end up at Weber.
Yep. End up at Weber.
After how long? So you went online?
I went to freshman year at Utah State, and then I decided, you know what? I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I'm going on a mission.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
We skipped something.
Yep. I'm going on a mission. And again, I was like, I'll be fine. I'll be great. The situation was extremely toxic and I was only out for 10 weeks.
Mm. Where'd you go?
Vancouver, Washington.
Oh, okay.
But it was right at the time when the age changed. So all of the girls that went out with the age change in like 2013 were all coming home. And so there wasn't enough sisters to have like truly trained people. And shout out to Sister Peterson. I absolutely adore you. But she had only been out for 6 weeks. She hadn't finished her training. She had no idea what she was doing. And I was in the middle of nowhere, like tiny little La Center, Washington, tiny, tiny. And my mission president was struggling and he was kind of projecting all of that onto us. And so it just caused the anxiety I was already feeling about being away from home through the roof and panic attacks. I was sleepwalking. Like, it was not a great situation. And I was like, I'm going home.
Yeah.
I'm going home. So did that for 10 weeks and then, started working as a tutor.
How was it coming home?
That was what I was going to ask.
Oh, coming home. You would think it was like, I would get the most negative feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of my family members, extended, immediate, and my ward was like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Are you okay? We're just making sure you're okay.
It's a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Well, and a bunch of them were like, it hasn't been 18 months. Has it been 18 months? That's crazy. Because it flies. Just a year and a half.
If you're not the one doing it.
Yes. Yes. But at the time it was like, you make sure you're okay.
Well, and all those people watched you be such a resilient kid.
Yes.
And go through what you did. They're like, obviously there's something wrong on the outside coming in, right?
Yep. Yep. And so that was hard. Those 10 weeks were hard. Like, when I tell stories about my mission, people are like, you lived 18 months and 10 weeks. I was like, Oh yeah. Lots of things happened. We didn't have water for a week and a half. We went to a house that was infested with bed bugs and like had to burn our clothes when we got home. Like, it was a lot. It was a lot. But that also really shaped who I was, who I am. And so after that, I was like, I'm living at home. I just need to be with my mom for a while. And I went to Weber.
Takes a lot of courage.
Yeah.
Tons. Because there's so much pressure.
And it's not for everybody. And we've got, I think, thankfully, at least.
But how do you know until you do it?
Yes. And it's like, and it's okay. I had a bunch of friends that came home early for mental health. And it's like, get yourself the help you need. And if you can go back out, great. If you can't, more power to you. Mm-hmm.
Did the conversation about mental health start then?
Both of my parents have struggled with mental health. It's a pretty common thing in my family, both extended and immediate. But for us, because it wasn't the priority, mm-hmm. we could push it aside for a long time. But yeah, I came home 20 years old and it was like, okay, I need some support.
Need help.
Yep.
Yep.
Because you're again, lots of love and support. Yes. Need some different support.
Yep. Need different support. Need an outside person to talk to.
How did you go about doing that?
For a lot of years, I was like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine. Like, I need to have my moments. And now I look at it and I laugh. But every spring it was I need change. It's either going to be I chop my hair off or I rearrange my bedroom. And so it was sometimes both. But it was because I was coming out of seasonal depression. Right? And I was like, I can't do this. So for a lot of years, it was just, I'm managing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until right before COVID that I had an incident that I don't even remember that like sparked this like major trauma response. And I was just like, okay, I need to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
So I took advantage of the therapists on campus at Weber for a while. Even during COVID, we would have phone calls. And then I was like, I've graduated. Like, I feel pretty good. And then since moving out on my own, I'm like, oh no,
I still need someone to talk to.
I still need people. So,
yep.
Yeah. It's something, I mean, thank you for sharing because this is, I mean, I don't care what age
it's huge.
We're talking about. This is huge. To be able to ask for help first and foremost, and then get, you know, there's help everywhere.
Yeah.
But when you're the person that needs the help to ask for it is like, that's almost a no. And then to actually have the conversation, that's almost a no. And then the people in my life that do it on a regular basis, it's another day.
Oh yeah.
Another one, just walk in the park. It's just like, it's like having an appointment to get a haircut.
Oh yeah.
Except for they're going to see their person, talk about their stuff, and they feel better because they did it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
I love that it's talked about as much as it is now. And
because
it's
only been in the last,
I think since COVID, I think that's something that came out of that. I have friends that are like, oh, can't do Thursdays. That's therapy day. Like they openly talk about it.
And I think it's because we're not allowing it to pile up anymore. Mm-hmm. We're not allowing ourselves to say that I'm fine because we're all hopefully aware enough.
Everybody's fine.
That it's like, are you really fine though? Like I can tell in your body language, like you're not really doing okay.
Yep. The awareness is huge. People that you're like, oh, they're always so happy. And they're like, no, I actually do see somebody or I struggle. Yeah. And that brings the awareness. And it's like, it's okay that I have these problems because so does this person. And it makes it a community aware.
Yep. Mm-hmm. There's a community behind it.
It's not just them.
Yep.
That loneliness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So you come home from your mission.
Yep.
You dig back in with your mom.
Yep. She's so nice. She made me a deal. She's like, as long as you are going to school, you do not have to pay rent.
Oh, that's such a deal.
So yeah, I was like, I'm going to take advantage of
Mom's
that.
Mom's a pushover.
No.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, I'm like, what a gift.
She's great because she's like, you can live here as long as you want. And I took full advantage of that.
As long as you are, as long as you're JFDIing your school.
Yeah, man.
So you dig into school.
Yep.
And share with us that journey because it was an easy one for
you. When you started,
you're such
a
high caliber student and retain energy or information so well.
But I wasn't.
When you started, what were you going to school for at Utah State?
I wanted to go into PR. I was so intrigued by communication and like journalism. But at the time, communication was not a degree. It was a brand new area of focus. And my mom was like, that is not a real job. Pick something else. And so I took the communication classes and I was like, okay, I really enjoy this, but this is not where I want my focus to be.
Right.
And whenever anybody would ask me, well, what do you want to do with your life? And I said, I just want somebody to pay me to read.
Oh,
I just want to get paid to read because I love
that's
reading.
A dream.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was just like, but how do I make that a reality? I don't want to be an author. I don't want to be an editor. I don't want to be a publicist. Like, I don't want to be the publicist. So it's like, what do I do? And I was like, I don't know. I don't have to decide. I really don't have to declare a major until my senior year of school. And I didn't. like I worked through all of my classes and I was like, I can't decide between psychology, English, and communication. So I was like, I don't have to pick. I can do all three. And so I was like, what do I love more? And it was English. So I majored in English and I didn't declare until my senior year, but I had taken all of the prerequisites. I just couldn't decide my major. Mm-hmm. And so I double minored in psychology and communication because I was like, I can't decide, so I'm not going to. So eventually I had enough credits that it looks like a double major. But
the whole time you didn't want to do what?
I didn't want to teach. Nope. So I was working after my mission. I started as a tutor.
No matter what I do.
Nope.
Didn't I teach. Know that it's not teaching.
No, because with all of the stuff that I dealt with growing up, I saw how exhausted my mom was.
Yeah.
And she worked at a Title I school. So like low income. There was a bunch of times that there were heavy gang related students in the building and there was just a lot.
And this is junior high for her too.
Yes. Junior high. 37 years total, 31 at a junior high, a Title I junior high. Mm. And so, yeah. So
you were clear what you didn't want to do, you didn't want.
And it wasn't because I didn't love the kids or like the idea of the kids. It was the politics.
Yeah.
And that comes with any job, but I didn't want to deal with the politics.
And your unique ability to learning was what?
My unique ability to learn was I struggled. I knew what it was like to be that kid that had the comprehension issues, that struggled to learn how to read, that learned it was going to take a hot.
You could read.
I could read.
It was retaining what you read.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a story of my life.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And it's important to talk about this because I know so many.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. Comprehension is probably the biggest thing I do.
Best teachers I ever had were the ones that did struggled. It, that had that when they were a kid.
Because we get it. Mm-hmm. I understand when I have a student like, Miss Arnold, I don't get it. I
don't understand what this means.
What this is saying. It's like, saying, okay, let's break it down. But that's what my mom did with me. She broke it down. She's like, we're going to get through this because you are not going to be a child that in my house that doesn't know how to do school.
So the reason why I want to bring it up is you got good grades.
Yes.
Not because you could retain
the aptitude for it.
It was your work ethic, your drive, your determination, your focus, your ability to just keep doing it.
Yes. And my parents set a high bar. It's like, you try your best. We expect A's and B's, but if I can see that you have studied your butt off and you got a D+, we'll take it.
Yeah. That's my belief in my family too.
Yep. Do like your best.
However you applied yourself, as long as you applied yourself, we're good.
And junior high and high school, like when I was in public school, my grade, like I struggled. And all of my friends were those like, I got a 36 on the ACT and I took it the first time. And I was like, you suck. Because I took it three times and got the same score. And I was just like, it's whatever. But I learned that they just had the ability to memorize information and they did well on tests. Mm-hmm. They didn't actually learn the information.
You know what though? My favorite people to work with ever are the ones that didn't get a good score on their ACT. I'm just gonna put that out there.
Yep. Yep. So all of you out there, if you are not doing well on your ACTs or your grades, you're fine.
Yeah.
You'll be just fine. But yeah, so I had a mentality of like, I need to stay on par with them and make it look like I'm doing okay. So it was like keeping up with appearances, but I also think it helped me with that work ethic so that when I got to college, it was like, no, I know how to do this. But also my mom was harassing me every day.
So what approach did you take to help you get those grades though? I mean, I understand you got to just put in the work, right? But you learn how you learn.
For me, it's repetition. Uh-huh. It is doing it over and over and over again. So math was easy for me because that's all it is.
Math is math. Yeah.
Yeah. English, as much as I love it, it was harder because it's subjective. And so
it's because it doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. Right.
So what I think of something
who would want to, who would want to get a degree in English?
Exactly.
Seriously. Oh, grammar rules. As an English teacher, I will tell you grammar rules are stupid, but when it comes to like reading, that is subjective. It is always subjective. And so it was always so hard of like, well, what does my teacher want? By the time I was done with my sophomore year of college, I learned how to jump through the hoop. And I hate saying that education is.
That's life.
Yeah.
When you say that is life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. If you, I'm like, I knew that if I wanted to
figure out the portal, figure out how to get to the other side.
You got to just
A
do
to
it.
B.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You got to do it. Mm. JFDI.
Dude. It's exciting.
Yes.
Because you've done an amazing job.
Yeah.
Like as far as the accomplishments, when someone just looks at it and measures the accomplishments, it's easy to overlook the journey.
Yeah.
And I just know so many kids out there that really today struggle retaining what they read. Yep. And it's because a lot has changed. Yes. How we teach has changed. I mean, we just had, AI. Oh, yeah, bring that up because it's like, that's my best friend anymore.
AI is my favorite.
But like, we just had the fiber line here local.
Yeah.
Schools were closed.
Yes, I heard about that.
And I was like, it never dawned on me. Like, we can't hold function. School oh, without what? Internet.
So
they canceled it?
Yeah, they hit a wire when they were doing road fiber construction. Line, yeah. So internet, the safe, like the lock on the doors for safe schools.
They're smart schools, yeah. Right? Everything is run off.
If the internet goes, we are blind.
I'm telling you right now, it's a good thing Brooklyn was not a student back then, like 10-year-old Brooklyn.
Yes.
Because I would be cutting fiber lines to
But it was what?
That's not one of the things.
Seven or eight schools that didn't have.
Yeah, it was a nice area, like Weber County, Roy West,
yeah,
out of Hooper Elementary. So yeah. What I really wanted to just focus on was that journey. Yes. And what it's meant to you to get through that journey and really, again, what you gained from it. And then we want to really kind of highlight where you're at right now, because you took a left, you took a right, everything was sunshine and rainbows, and it wasn't. We want to unpack it.
So when I graduated with my bachelor's, by that point I was like, oh dang it, I actually want to teach. I like this age, because I was working in a junior high. That's what I was doing, and I was like, oh no, I like these kids. And when I've talked to anybody, if you go into education for anything but the kids, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. But I was like, I want to teach. And it was too late. I did not want to start my four-year college career over again by jumping into a teaching program when I had a semester left of my bachelor's. So I was like, oh, Utah's got this wonderful option called the associate license. And so I was like, I'm just going to take the praxis, which is a test, and just get my license and start applying, because I have a license. They can't really tell me no because I have a license. Oh, no. They told me no.
How many times?
About 14 or 15.
Yeah, 14 or 15 no's.
Over a 2-year period, it was.
What did that do to your confidence?
It was awful. It was awful. And then I was like, fine, I'll get my master's. It was 12-year-old Holly's dream. And truly it was. Mm-hmm. That I was like, I'm going to get my master's. I don't know what that is, but I'm going to get it.
It's every 12-year-old's dream, right?
Yeah, master in English. I can't wait to master English. Yeah.
My sixth grade teacher had a master's, and she said it once, and I was like, what's that? She's like, oh, it's the thing above a bachelor's. And I was like,
that's me.
I'm going to get that. Yeah. I'm going to get that. And so I took advantage of lockdown and COVID and stuff. And I was like, oh, I can do my student teaching with this master's program. Great. My first placement of student teaching was a train wreck.
Yeah.
Like, I had to report ethical issues day one with my teachers that I was assigned to. Oof. It was a bad situation. And thankfully, a previous administrator heard that I was struggling. And she's like, oh, we'll take her.
Yeah. Mm.
That principal is now my boss.
Nice. Yes.
I work at that school.
And you currently teach where?
I teach at Central Davis in Layton. Yep.
7th and 8th grade English.
7th and 8th grade English.
So you're actually God sent.
Sure.
An actual angel.
Everybody says that, but
the angel.
I look at them, because we all remember what it was like to be 14, and we all say it sucks. And so to have someone who understands, and I look at it this way, because I understand and understood what it is to be 14, I let them be 14. Yes, I set boundaries and I set high expectations for them, but I let them be 14, and they're hilarious. They are so funny. And I don't think people give them enough credit for that, because they are just funny people.
So grateful, huh? Mm-hmm.
Oh,
like grateful.
I'm so happy there's people like you in this world.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, my favorite part is they love to roast me all the time, but then I give it right back to them. If I did that with any other grade, I'd probably make them cry. Or they just look at me like, you're stupid. Like, I'm not, like,
I will say those
high school kids definitely have that opinion.
That is the most, the age of the most development,
yes.
The most change,
yes.
The most critical is that time.
Yep.
It is.
Yep. And I've had students in the past, just even in the past year, they're like, Miss Arnold, I loved your classroom because I felt safe. I felt seen because you let
Listen.
Me be myself.
Yeah.
Which is the biggest compliment somebody could give you,
yes.
right?
Yes.
So I have a question.
Okay.
What's next?
Yeah.
What's your next 5 years?
What's my next 5 years? I would love to be considering, here's this more education thing. I would love to be considering another master's. I'm thinking about a doctorate. I can't start applying until the end of this school year, but pushing myself in education, I think, but also kind of just finding life. Like I've been helping parents for so long. I've just recently moved out on my own.
High five.
Any pets? Any?
Nope.
Just, nothing yet.
Just
not
me.
Not even a fish.
No, I've had fish and they've had an unfortunate end.
They're no longer with us.
No.
Okay.
Had. No, emphasis on had.
Yes. So kind of just living life. I've taken advantage of traveling the last 10 years or so, but so I think I want to see more of the world.
You think you want to.
I think I want to.
It just, you think you want to.
It's the,
I will
do
what,
it.
What are you doing? Right, okay. Right, now we're talking.
I will do it.
Yep. You will do some traveling.
What's the what's next on the travel list?
I would love to see Canada.
So you're going to go see Canada.
Oh, there.
Back to Vancouver.
Montreal. There's a road trip. There is a road trip that I'm planning on taking. That's cross country. You just get on in Vancouver and you drive all the way to Quebec and then you can take a ferry across the Great Lake and keep going up to Prince Albert Island. And
there's a train.
There is a train
that does it too.
Yes. I think the road sounds better.
I love it.
Because you can get off
motorcycle, train, all that stuff. Yes. Yeah.
I'll hop on my Delta.
We're excited for you.
Yep.
We are excited for you.
I'm excited. Yeah.
And proud of you.
Thank you.
Very, very proud of you.
The fortitude. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's awesome.
If you were to be able to tell little Holly one thing that you've learned now, what would that be?
You'll be fine. When you say that you're fine, you really will be. You will be okay. You will have so many people around you that love you, that will give you every opportunity, and you will be okay.
Well, thank you seriously so much for being on our podcast.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a privilege to get to catch back up with you. And just honestly, thank you. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
That's all.
Respect, integrity, passion, personal power, leadership, enthusiasm. This has been the Empowering Youth Podcast from Building Utah Youth. To become part of the 3%, visit Building Utah Youth on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or on our website at buildingutahyouth.org.